Thank you, guys. Bless you. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad you're here. I came out. It was a couple minutes, 2 minutes till seven or something like that. I came to the door and I looked out and I went, there's about 20 people out here in the chairs. I ran back. I said, Tom, I ran everybody away today. I told him, Zach, didn't I tell you that, Tom? I said, Tom, I ran everybody away. He said, what do you mean? I said, there's about 20 people out there and it's 7 o'clock. I said, I ran them all away. Then you kept trickling in and I was like, woo, thank you, Jesus. So I told him, see, it's good. I don't do many power loves or city quakes. I mean, I do a couple power loves, I do a couple city quakes. I do a friend of mine, I do a school reform for him. There's some things that I do. In fact, between you guys, my friends, you get like 9 or 10 weeks out of me, you know? So I do a lot of them. You guys ready? Yeah. Hey, let me say something first. Like the testimony time, I'm so sorry you guys couldn't share. Like I always feel like, ah. So I was like, sorry guys, thanks. But here's what excites me. When this thing first starts, they're asking for testimonies and they're like, anybody have a testimony? Who went out? Anybody have a testimony? Somebody gets up, comes, and maybe two, maybe three, first session, second session, there might be maybe four. By the end of the sessions, they're like, okay, we're going to do testimonies. Yeah, I'm like, this is so good. Yeah, you were like cattle, man. Some people just took off. They wanted to share. So share it with somebody. Share it at your church. Do that app thing he's talking about. But I just want to thank you guys for catching this vision. I've been doing this with Tom since the very beginning. I mean, the very beginning. And people didn't want to sign up because they didn't want to be in a position where they had to actually go outside themselves and pray for somebody. And people really didn't sign up, did they, Tom? It was something. And it really was like, wow. I mean, when you ask somebody, when's the last time somebody prayed for you? Like Tom said, maybe come from that angle, you'd be amazed. Most people say, nobody's ever asked to pray for me. Sometimes you pray for people, they say, you're the first person that's ever asked. That was beautiful, thanks. But that can change, and it is changing. And you guys are proof of that. So I'm just commending you because I watched us as a room grow in excitement. I saw worship intensify. I saw testimonies increase. And y'all came back for me for one more night. So I'm like, whoo, I'm so glad I didn't run y'all off. So now I can really let you have it because this is my last though. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No. No, but listen, we're in a race. We're in a journey. You got this weekend, certainly out of me. I didn't hear all the sessions, but out of me. God created man with intention. True, you can find it scripturally. God has purpose in creating man. We didn't come out of a mud puddle. We didn't evolve from an animal. God said one day, let us make man in our image and in the likeness and image of God. He made them both male and female. The believer believes that. Amen? So God made man with intention. Here's the paradox. If you don't live within that intention, then life's a grind. You're living life outside of grace and empowerment. Why would God empower us to live what we weren't created for? So if you're a Christian for any other reason than to pursue his image and manifest who he is through your life and walk in love and live by the Spirit, then you'd have to question, why am I a Christian? Am I just a Christian to get blessing? Am I a Christian to get protection? Am I just a Christian to go to heaven when I die? Because we push that really hard. And I'm not against that. I'm thankful that we're going to live forever. That's a big deal. That's incredible, right? But the goal is transformation. The goal is new life through Jesus Christ. The goal is put off the old man and his deeds and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That's Colossians 3:10. And it's in your Bible and it's amazing, right? So the goal is becoming Christ-like. The goal is walking in the light as he's in the light, to walk in love just as he loved. Romans 8 says we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Yeah? I mean, that's a big deal. It says who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. That doesn't mean giving you glory. He glorified you. What's that mean? He filled you with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He made you his crowning creation in glory, like he empowered you to manifest him. right? The glory of God revealed isn't smoke. It's the nature of God. It's the person of God made known. It's the person of God manifested, right? Thank you. So this is why we're on the earth. So this is what we've been talking about a lot. And we want you loving on people. We want you praying for people. But we want it to come out of the truth of just who you are in Christ, what you have with him, where it's actually flowing out of relationship. It's never just ministry. It's never duty. It's never, boy, you know, I should do this. Now, we're not against you just doing it, but be pursuing him. Be pursuing to know him. Have this walk with him where you're allowing him to groom you. And if you bump into something that you realize after, especially this weekend, is an edifying, isn't what he created you for, is non-productive. You just find yourself, you just catch yourself feeling sorry for yourself. Who knows it? Sometimes you just catch yourself in a place that you realize ain't producing life. So that ain't failure when you catch it. When you stay there, that's not a good line to walk. When you catch it, that's growth, that's progress. You ought to be excited. You ought to be going like, duh, wow. Oh my goodness, I see what that is. Man, 6 months ago, I'd have been justified. I wouldn't even been convicted. I'd have stayed there. Oh my goodness, Lord, you never made me for this. That attitude is in heaven. Oh my goodness, I see what's going on. Thank you for fathering me. All of a sudden, you're actually excited and you're growing in him in the midst of being fathered. You're not being corrected. You didn't fail. See, we get so rigid sometimes. We're afraid to step out in this thing I'm preaching because we think we're running a risk of failure. No, you're privileged to become. You're stepping into the race that we're called to run, and if you ain't in the race, you ain't running. So you got to get in the race. In the race isn't church attendance. In the race is living by the Spirit of God. It's living in truth. In the race is walking in love and making peace and showing mercy, overcoming evil with good, toning down a harsh word with a kind word. Come on, that's the race. The Bible says, walk, Philippians 1, walk in a manner worthy of him. See, when the Bible has scriptures like this, it tells us, wait a minute, we did not just pray a prayer to go to heaven when we die. We're not just waiting for a bell to ring, and we're not just waiting for a bus to pick me up, and I know I'm on the list. Walk in a manner worthy of him. That's amazing. What's that mean? In a manner that manifests him, that reveals him, that brings him honor. That makes him seen and known. Yeah? Where somebody actually wants what you're saying because they see it in you. Not because you're compelling them to theologically agree, but because they actually, why would they want what you say you have if they can't see it in your life? So we're in this race. We're in this journey. Look at where I want you to see this a minute. Oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that. That's so good. Sorry, I was listening. No, I really was. There's so much you could preach and be okay. There's so much you could preach that would pass the grade. I've actually spent years filling my heart with the word. I could actually preach and it would be good. But I need it to be God. Amen, Philippians chapter 1. No, when I kneel over there during worship, it's not just always a humble position. I kneel down because I'm humbled to be here. I'm honored to be here. I came over and thanked Pastor during worship. I haven't got a chance to get to know him or talk to him, but I said, thank you for letting this happen. The fact that I stand in front of you and have a microphone on, it's not a small thing. The Bible says, don't let many of you be teachers. There's a stricter judgment. Now, some people think I'm going to really get judged. I'm not in front of you because I have a need to speak. I don't get my identity about being up here. If I'm up here or not, I'm the same. I'm having the time of my life and nobody can do a thing about it. I get to be here. It's an honorable thing. It's not a haughty thing. It's not a proud thing. It's not my thing. I kneel over there and here's what I say all the time, and it's not religious and it's not redundant. I say, Lord, this is incredible. In a few minutes, they're going to let me up there and turn on a mic. And you know I have no need to speak in front of people. God, you know that because I know that. I said, if they handed you a mic in 10 minutes, you know this room and you know what you would say. Would you please let that be the only words that come out of my mouth? So this morning I had a little intention of what I was going to share and I didn't even get close to my intention. Why? Because of that prayer. And when I come up and I turned on and started going, I went, didn't I? And a word just, right? I couldn't have been prepared for that in the sense of I didn't rehearse that in the hotel before I got here. I didn't preach that before I started here. I didn't even think about it till I got up here. I got routed in that direction. We went there, bam. Why? Because I honestly believe it's what he would say if Tom gave him a mic. That's why I was listening. That's because there's so many things you could share. There's things in my heart. But what's in the heart of God? I'm going to trust that this is it, okay? Because I started with this, only let your conduct, this Philippians 1, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is Paul writing. Watch this. So whether I come and see you or I'm absent, it's the same. In other words, don't do it because I'm in town. Yeah? Don't just do it because somebody's watching. Don't just, that's hypocrisy. Don't be on your best behavior because your pastor's looking, because somebody in your leadership's there. Don't do stuff to ever be seen by men. There's a warning in the Bible about that. You don't do nothing to be seen by men. That would reveal you have some kind of other motive in your life and need in your life. It says when you do something to be seen by men, you'll have your reward in full already in the moment of that. It's just such a wind and a vapor. It's just so not cool, right? You do what you do before God. Amen? You do it for his name. You do it for the sake of others. So watch this. Whether I'm coming to see you, I'm absent, may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast. Watch this. This is intense, guys, that you stand fast in one spirit, in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, he didn't say for faith, for the faith of the gospel. He's not talking about faith to believe for promotion. He's not talking about faith for healing. It's the faith of the gospel. He puts the in front of the word faith quite a few times in the New Testament. Established in the faith, continuing in the faith, obedience to the faith, build up in the faith, resist the devil who roams around like a roaring lion, resist him, standing steadfast in. See, the faith is a perspective. It's an understanding of who you are now that he came and why you are who you are. And we're supposed to strive together for the unity of the faith. One spirit, one mind. In this small room, we have so much diversity, you could probably hardly measure it. Personalities, looks, preferences, desires, like it fast, like it slow, like it loud, like it quiet, like it. There's just so much diversity in this room. Some have burnings in their heart in this direction, called in this direction. Some have a heart for children. Some just have compassion for the elderly. Some just have other countries burning in their heart. Some love worship. There's so much diversity in this room. And yet he's talking about one mind, one spirit striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's incredible. So see, it's not uniformity. It's not everybody conforming to the same desire, preference. It's everybody living for the same ultimate reason. It's everybody waking up for the same ultimate goal. Come here, Michael, real quick. Spin around, face him, you handsome fella. Watch. You will never mistake us. I called you on purpose. I was calling you, but you looked down right when I was calling you. You got out of it. He's going, thank you, Jesus. Okay, watch this. If I come to this church and he comes to this church, you ain't walking up to him and saying, now, are you Dan? No, that's right, you're Michael. I get you guys so confused. Would you ever do that? No, for obvious reasons. It's just the hair. So we aren't anything alike when you look at us. But watch this. We can both look just like him. And that's what makes us one. And he's got his background. He's got all his stuff, heritage stuff, culture. I've got mine, but we both got him. Now watch. So if Michael wakes up to shine and I wake up to shine, he lives, where do you live?
Michigan.
He lives in Michigan. I live in Pennsylvania. We're miles apart. But this week, if he's up in Michigan and he wakes up to walk in love, to shine, to manifest Jesus, and I'm over in PA waking up, sincerely waking up to shine, to walk in love. That's the body of Christ. That's the army he's raising up. It's not church attendance, even though I wish we would all attend somewhere. It's not church attendance. Church attendance won't change the world. Walking in love has to. This is what makes us one. One mind, one spirit, striving together for who we are now that he came. Unity of the faith. Make sense? Okay. Thank you. Does that make sense? So that's an encouragement on the closing night of this conference that, guys, I've been crying this out every session. We're on the earth for a reason, and I'm talking about what that looks like and how that all got perverted through sin and Adam and how self-centeredness overtook our lives. You'll never walk out Jesus if self-centeredness is in your motives. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 16, if you're going to follow me and come after me, you have to deny yourself. Why? Living for yourself is the biggest tragedy on the planet, but it's what we were born into. Why? Because Adam got separated from God, got cut off from the source of love, and became in need of love. Now, he was made to love because he was fulfilled in love. And when he got separated from God, he quickly became in need of love. Every one of us was born into Adam. We were all born into the need of love. But the real reason we're on the earth is to walk in love. So we were born into Adam in the need of love, but you must be born. And we turned that into a prayer that takes me to heaven when I die. Instead of the answer of a new life through Jesus Christ. To where my whole motive in life is changed. And if we don't get this, we will never walk in the unity of the faith. 1 Timothy 1:5, the whole goal of our instruction is love. If we miss love, we miss the whole point of the cross. We think the point of the cross is taking me to heaven when I die. That is not scriptural. The point of the cross is that your nature is restored back to what he created you to be in the first place before sin ever happened. Amen. That's extremely scriptural. Yeah? Yeah. The goal of our instruction, what is it? It's love. Where does it come from? A pure heart. Not a debating heart, an argumentative heart, a high-minded heart, a puffed-up heart. Pure heart, good conscience, clear conscience, and an unfeigned, sincere, childlike faith. If you violate your conscience, you'll shipwreck your faith. Scripture teaches that, Philippians 3. Pure heart establishes a clear conscience. A clear conscience allows faith to flow free. You get it? Boy, if we taught people this, and people knew they were coming into the kingdom for the transformation of their life, to deny their self, pick up their cross, and follow Jesus, it would change a lot. It would change a lot. If we would teach them this, that the only reason you're angry at people in your life is because it's still about you and you don't realize the trap that is. And even though they were wrong, the way you're responding to it, they're dictating your life. You're giving people control over your life because your self-centered motive is giving them power. So now they're etching and sculpting your life because the anger affects your emotions. Your emotions affect your expression. So even though you think you cut them off, they are fashioning you the whole time. They ought to sign their name on the bottom of every selfie you ever took. And you think you cut them off and you're winning because you haven't talked to them for 4 years. But when you hear their name, you boil inside or you get indignant or you can't forget what they did. And you think you're winning? No, you're at the mercy of that thing. And it's called self-centered deception. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Why? Jesus was 1,000% selfless. He's God, for one thing. He comes as a man. He does everything right and gets treated like he's totally wrong. He doesn't buckle. He doesn't back down. He doesn't drop the cross. He doesn't quit. He doesn't cry. He doesn't say, this ain't fair. He doesn't call pastor for counsel. Are you with me? Who am I following? Jesus. So if I don't see it in his life, why is it permissible in mine? Why is it so okay in mine? Why is the way that seems right to a man just so acceptable? If I can't see it in Jesus, why is it okay in me? If I can't hear the thing I'm saying in his mouth and I can't make it fit in his mouth and make it sound right, then why am I still saying it? This is what following Jesus means, guys. Somehow we think it's pursuing miracles. Following Jesus is walking in love. Following Jesus is living by the Spirit. Following Jesus is not changing your mind about people no matter what they're doing and how they look. Following Jesus is not judging any man according to the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5, it's there, five. Got a confirmation deep in my heart on that one. Can you tell I read this book? You ought to fill your heart with this book. It's because you'll never discern a lie unless you're flooded with the truth. See, well, how do I know the Bible's truth? Come on, the Bible will transform and change your life. Don't you cop out and get in something that men get in analytical and resist. And he's coming one day with a sword in his mouth, and it's called the Word of God. How do I know that's the word? Because God's not going to judge me by a standard he hasn't given me. Yeah, but the translation, and yeah, this, and yeah, that. Would you just stop all the fuss? If God's calling me to live by his word, and Jesus said, man lives by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, and he's going to judge me by the word. And Jesus in John 12 says, I didn't come to judge you, condemn you, that you might be saved, but you have my word. You have my word that will judge you in that day. Believe me, you have his word. He's not going to judge you by something he didn't give you. Do you understand that men aren't judged for not hearing? They're judged for not believing.
Come on. Good.
Believe me, God's given his word. He's calling every man into account. It says, how can they believe if they haven't
heard?
How can they hear if no one's preaching? How can they preach if they haven't been sent? Philippians chapter 1. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Probably third time I read that. It's probably on purpose. So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries. See, when you're selfish in any way, you can't love not your own life unto death. You won't live surrendered when you're self-centered. I don't know how else to say this, but plainly, you can't get tricked. There's sincere people out there that love the cross. They cry over the person of Jesus, but they don't understand that they can't. It's not scriptural to be a Christian for you. You can't be a Christian for your sake. You have to be a Christian for his name's sake. Like it doesn't mean he can't bless you, empower you, but everything that you want and you get from God should be for the purpose of manifesting God, right? That doesn't mean he won't give you a promotion. That doesn't mean he won't empower you to pay bills. But the goal of Christianity isn't so he makes our life work. It's so he makes our life like him. I have never seen anybody run well in my 27 years of being saved that deep down in their heart they were a Christian for their sake. I've never seen anybody stay consistent and walk in the light and live excited. They're usually moved by life, circumstances, trials. They have highs, they have lows. They're doing as good as things are going. When things are going good, great. I hope it stays that way. Praise the Lord. Come on, I'm just being real.
Come on.
Look, no matter what changes in my life, he doesn't. The reason I'm here is the same. My children could be running wild. He doesn't change. The reason I'm on the earth is the same. If I get deceived and let my children running wild cause fear in me, a reflection of me and my parenting, now I'm a failure, they're defaming my name, and all of a sudden I'm all caught up in this, and I have my identity wrapped around my children's present decision, who knows, I'm going to make a big mistake, and all my despair I call prayer.
Come on.
Is this okay?
Yes.
Come on, I'm not saying it's a fun time. We got to taxi through some stuff.
Yeah.
But that's deny yourself. Pick up your cross. That means never let sin against you have the right to commit sin.
Wow.
You never repay evil for evil. You carry your cross. You don't let the decision of a person decide you, your countenance, your disposition, or your motivation.
Wow.
You don't let what one man did define your life unless it's Jesus.
Yes.
Come on, it's true. Jesus modeled this, people. He got mistreated beyond. It was the biggest injustice. You can't even explain it. How do you label it? He's the last person on earth that would ever deserve to be guilty and die. And die, not just die, but die on a cross. Don't think they didn't strip him naked. They beat him beyond description, according to Isaiah. When they were done beating him, you couldn't tell it was him. And he let men do that to him so that he could put his life in me. And you think I'm going to be offended? And he said, she said, well, I feel, well, that hurt. Well, I gave, well, I don't know why. No! No! No, you do that if you want. But that is not why I have this one life. And I'm not a Christian for me. He said to Ezekiel, it's in there. He said, my people were dispersed and went among the nations, and everywhere they went, they profaned my name. That means lived in a godless manner and totally misrepresented me. You know what he said? He said, but I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to put a new heart in them. I'm going to put a new spirit in them. And guess what he said? I'm not going to do it for their sake. I'm going to do it for my great name. Let me ask you this. Why were they his people in the first place? Why did he pull a people out of the earth and call them the children of God? Why? Because he's biased? Favoritism? No, he had a plan. And he's pointing to the New Testament, New Covenant church that has the baton of Christ. And what he's saying is, I'm going to raise up a people, reveal myself to this people, and this people is going to reveal me to the nations of the earth. So the nations of the earth know me through them. Okay, why is he doing that? Because why did he make man? Let us make man for our... So he's keeping the vision alive. Makes a covenant with Abraham. He raises up the Israelites, sets them apart, gives them covenant and promises for the purpose of them manifesting who God is to the earth. When that's failing terribly, and Moses is tearing clothes and throwing dust... And it's failing terribly. God, right in the middle of it, says, let me tell you something, Moses. I love this stuff. Like, God prophesies. Like, he doesn't need reassurance. He's just reassuring. He's like, look, because man can't change God. Man can't stop him. Man can't manipulate him. Can't change him. You can't change Jesus. That's why Jesus is changing men. Watch. He said, let me tell you something, Moses, as surely as I live. What a decree. As surely. Can you imagine being God? He says, as surely as I live. Oh! He says, the whole earth shall be. See, if I was going in my bedroom right now, thinking this stuff, I'm going bonkers. I'm being so behaved for you. No, you have no idea. You have no idea. I have freaked out. 1,000 times over when nobody's around. I'm reading. It says he has preeminence, dominion, authority over all authority over all the power. And I'm like, it's no match. You're the Lord. Yeah. And I'm just going crazy. And then I get up here and have to preach and have to make sure I don't go crazy, but I make sense. It's a challenge. And right now I'm feeling challenged. No, you don't want me to go crazy. No. As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be full of my glory. Whew. Okay, take me back to the garden, God's delight in paradise. It's a confined place. When they were cast out, there was an angel that came and guarded the entrance, and it sounds like it was a little apartment space on the earth. Didn't an angel come and guard it? and keep them from coming back in, at least to eat the tree of life and remain the same and stay alive forever in that condition without the blood of Jesus, without the cross, an angel. So what's the deal? He's got them in this confined space. It's like a couple room apartment on the earth. It had to be a fenced in space. Or the angel couldn't have guarded it and kept them from getting in there. Wow. But they're supposed to be fruitful and multiply, and they're the crowning creation of God and His glory. So how do you be fruitful and multiply when you're in a two-room apartment? What He wanted to do was them to walk in obedience, be fruitful, multiply, and manifest who He is, and work the earth and keep expanding this thing out until the whole earth was full of His glory. No man missed that terribly. The Israelites missed that terribly. But I'm telling you, He passed us the baton.
Come on.
We're always asking God to pour out His Spirit and bring revival. Why are we always dead? Why do we need revived all the time? Revival is your life lived in Christ. Revival is you alive in Christ. Why do we get revived and die? Revived and die.
Wow.
Why don't we live?
Yeah. Right.
Come on. The greatest revival we're going to see in our lifetime is people knowing who they are and living it with sincerity.
Yes.
Not compromising.
Come on.
Not given to anger, frustration, discouragement, despair, fear, worry. Why? Because they love not their... Come on, I'm telling you, there's an army He's looking for to rise up. An army of people that won't love their own life unto death. It's actually the way we overcome. We say it's the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. That's how we do that in church services. And we miss the third one, which makes the first two powerful. And the first two have nowhere to land if the third one's not in place. Come on, you can plead the blood all you want in a self-centered place. Paul said, or James said, you'll never receive. You don't even receive what you're saying because you receive amidst your own lust, your own desire. You can't just plead scripture because you're scared to death. There's no authority in fear. You have no authority over what you fear. So people get a diagnosis of terminal cancer, fall apart, take on the identity of a dying man. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. And then they read the scripture and try to find the things that apply to their condition, but they become that condition. They become that in their identity, and they're scared half to death. And then they start quoting all the promises that pertain to their healing. And they reduce the scripture to principles we're applying to try to get help in our time of despair. Why? Because we put on the identity of what we're going through. We don't wear the identity of what He went through. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there real soon here. Just have to give me time in the Holy Ghost. There's just so much in the Word. The Word is amazing. The Word is amazing. I can sit alone and read one scripture and my whole heart goes, and preach in my heart for about 3 hours. Sometimes I'll just read 8 chapters and just know God's putting it in the files and bringing it to remembrance in every time of need. I have never in my life even thought about memorizing scripture. I just thanked Holy Spirit that He puts it in me and brings it when it's needed. And I get in situations as a pastor, and there's scriptures I haven't read for a long time because there's a lot of them in there.
Come on now.
And all of a sudden, shooting five.
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the last time I read them, but they come out. Pow, 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 pow. And I like it. Yeah? And it helps. Really, really helps when your motive's pure in wanting to be like that. Knowledge can puff you up. It's love that edifies. I have no need for you to be impressed with my quoting of a word, a scripture. Wow, you really know the word. Yeah, you ought to. I'm not looking for that. I want to know the word because I want to walk in truth. I want to give life. I don't want to give somebody my opinion, advice. Don't let many of you be teachers. People are pressing sometimes for this spot. They think when they're here, they've arrived or something. That's weird. You got a stricter judgment. Don't let many of you stand here. You only have one teacher anyway. He's the Christ. So if we're not preaching Him clean and clear and pure, what are we preaching? Because you got one teacher. He's the Christ. But Paul said you got many teachers, so it's not wrong to be teachers. Teachers is lifted in the giftings in the Bible. Yeah? It means you better be preaching Christ, the head, the anointing. Yeah? What have you heard come out of me all weekend?
Come on.
It's him. Him. Putting some of the stuff we say and think, trying to make it fit in his mouth, sitting him on the Mount of Olives, bummed out one morning, we're all laughing and silly. But how many of us have been bummed out for the same reason that I used in the illustration? Come on, sometimes we get done wrong. We call a friend, I just can't believe we got to pray for breakthrough. If they don't change soon, I'm going to give up. I can only take so much. Come on, we just think that's normal because that feels that way. Come on, if pastors were honest and I'm not being insincere, I'm not saying, listen, there's sometimes we get overwhelmed and in trouble, but we better be able to hear truth. No one should have that kind of power over my life if I'm complete in him. That's why they couldn't get to Jesus. He knew where he came from and he knows where he's going. And he said, when you see me, you see the Father. It's not when you see me, you see a man done wrong. When you see me, you see a man trying to do good and getting mistreated and unappreciated. He don't have the ability to think like that because he's love. See, people say, well, that was Jesus. No, we're missing the point. That was love. Because see, if you say that was Jesus, you're making his deity the only reason he was that way instead of his surrender and the empowerment of Holy Spirit. And you're saying, well, he's God. The only reason, but he said, follow me. So now we have a problem. So if I'm trying to follow God, that's impossible. But if I'm following a man empowered by God, see, that's not blasphemy. That's not heresy. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the man. Is he still the Son of God? Yes. Nobody's taking Jesus' deity. He chose to lay it down and make himself of no reputation. Why would the Holy Spirit have to come upon him in water baptism if he's already God? Why would he need baptized in the Holy Spirit? God doesn't slumber, does he? Then why is he sleeping in a boat? Because he didn't come as God. He came as a man empowered by God. We're not saying he's not the Son of God.
Yeah.
See, and the church fights this vehemently. And 1 John says the only way you recognize a spirit, if it's from God or not, the way you recognize that spirit is whether they acknowledge that Jesus came in the flesh. Why? Because the devil doesn't ever want us to know the power of what he accomplished by coming as a man. Because that's the only thing I can follow. Because I can't follow deity, but I can follow Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Why would God have to anoint Jesus if he was already came as God?
Amen.
Mm. You preach this stuff, people go bonkers.
Yes, sir.
And I'm not being rude or self-righteous, and I'm concerned about it. It just shows how much little understanding is out there. And James says, you be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. And you know what we've been most of our life? Ticked off, don't want to hear it, and got a whole lot to say. Because the people that contest this stuff get mean and derogatory, and judgmental, and almost evil in their words.
Yeah.
We'll find out one day. I just hope people are really confident in what they're doing. You're not in any way, not in any way. Come on, think that with me. I don't always say, like, say that with me. But if you want to say that in your heart, you say that. Man, I'm not in any way. That means no way, in any way, not in any way, no angle, no way am I terrified by what looks like adversary. Why? Because I love not my own life unto death. Jesus said, the ruler of this world cometh and he has nothing in me. Now, if we're following him and he said that, we can be in that place. Because I can show you scripture where if you keep yourself, the evil one touches you not. I can show you Psalms 91. You set your love upon him and he'll honor you. And with long life, he'll satisfy you. Children, your first commandment with a promise. Honor your mother and father. It'll be well with you and life will be long. Whew. Sounds like you can add to your days. Sounds, yeah, amen. Sounds like you can add to your days. Sounds like you can subtract from your days. One of the biggest misnomers in the Bible. People say, when your time card's punched, baby, you're out of here. When your time's up, when your day comes, wonder if you don't have a day. Wonder if it doesn't say there's an appointed time for every man to die. It says it's appointed once for every man to die. That's different than you having a date. But it gets mispreached. It's religion. It's the devil. And we don't study and show ourselves to prove them. We speak out of turn. Don't let many of you be teachers. But people sit and just talk the Bible and talk the Bible and talk the Bible, drink coffee, argue, debate, talk the Bible, and leave the meeting divided and heated. Oh, I've seen it in my life. What are we accomplishing? And why are you heated? Because they don't agree with you? Why are you mad because they don't agree with you? If you're sure you're right, you should be hurting. You should cry for them, not be mad at them. Why are you mad? Why are you red-faced and arguing scripture to get a head nod? There's something wrong with all that. Jesus isn't like that. He's on the earth preaching total truth. And people are grilling him, debating, tricking, trapping, and he just stays who he is. Why? Commits himself to him who judges righteously. One day you'll find out the truth. And he's given every man the chance to believe. Yeah? I can show you in 1 Peter 2, when you suffer for doing wrong and take it patiently, okay, good, you should. What credit's that to you if you take it patiently? But if you suffer for doing good, now you be real with me in your life. When your good got called evil by somebody and somebody misread your intentions and said you meant something other than you meant, you freaked out on the inside. Because you didn't want people thinking that of you. You had no intention to do evil. And you couldn't even believe they were suggesting that of you. And you flipped out on the inside when they called your good evil. And somebody said, you know what you were meaning. Oh, you just did that because you're just looking for attention. I wasn't even thinking about, what are you talking? Oh, we know just how you are. You said that just because. What? If it's not about you and you didn't say it for that reason and they're saying you did, why are you threatened by what they say when it ain't even true? They did it to Jesus every day. It's just when you suffer for doing good and you take it patiently, that's commendable before God. Oh, you'll like this one. Pastor, how many people have come to you in your life as a pastor, because you've been doing it a long time, and said, I'm just trying to find my calling. I just want to know my calling. And it's not a wrong question, but how many people have said that and thought that even in this room? I'm going to really help you today. I'm going to show you your calling. When you suffer for doing good and take it patiently, it's commendable before God, for to this you were called. Wait a minute, I just prayed a prayer to go to heaven, pal. I didn't sign up for none of this. And you're telling me I'm just supposed to take it and grin, and people supposed to knock me down, and I'm a doormat to people? No, Jesus wasn't a doormat. He's a living expression of love, and he's selfless. And when you see him, you see the Father. And God made you for his image, so let's get with his program. If you suffer for doing good and take it patiently, it's commendable before God, because this you were called, and you have Jesus as your example. I'm preaching out of 1 Peter 2. Right now I'm in about verse 20. Watch this. And you have Jesus as your example, and you should follow in his footsteps. And then there's a colon in your Bible, because the next things he writes is the steps, as if it said 1, 2, 3. That's why the English language puts the colon there. Because the next things written are the steps. The first thing written is who committed no sin. And you say, well, see, that's right there where I have trouble and we're done, because we all sin. We're always sinning. We're always committing sin, brother. We have sin. We're probably sinning now. We're probably sinning while we're breathing. We just don't have the level of sensitivity of the holiness of God. And we're probably all sinning right now and don't even know it. That's what people have tried to sell me over and over and over. And they are bound with a deceived mentality and identity of sin. Why are we so analytical? We're talking about sin we don't even know. Let me describe Bible sin to you. He that knows to do right and doesn't, to him it is sin. So why are you coming up with something you don't even know? And if I grow and that gets aware, then I'll deal with it because I'm sincere and love him. He who knows to do right and doesn't, to him it is sin. As you grow in him, you'll get fresh convictions. You'll see things different. And you might have been going a year and all of a sudden you go, oh my goodness, that is so unnecessary. That is so not his heart. But for a whole year, he wasn't going, sinner, sinner. Why are you praying to me and you got all that stuff in your heart? No, it's innocent. You don't even know it. Watch this. The Pharisees, he said to the blind man of Siloam, when he got his sight, boy, he got hammered for getting his sight. Yeah. By the church, boy, they were hard on that boy. He gets out in the street and Jesus walks up to him and says, do you believe in the Son of Man? He says, tell me who he is so I might believe. He said, it's he who's speaking with you. Drops on his knees, I believe. He said, for this reason, I came into the earth so those who are blind could see and those who see are blind. Pharisees go, surely we're not blind. He said, if you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. See, we miss this stuff. But because you say you're seeing, your guilt remains. So what happens when they get a conviction and they're not blind anymore? Now it crosses the line into sin because they'll violate their conscience and they won't follow through with their conviction. Are you with me? When you're not terrified by your adversaries, to them it's a proof of your destruction, but to you evidence of your salvation, and that's from God. For to you it has been granted, watch this, I hope you guys are following me in your Bible, Philippians 1, 29, 30. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to also suffer for his sake. What's that mean? Sickness? No. It means living in a world and not being of it. Living in a world that has a whole different motivation, a whole different idea, and a whole different conviction. Living separate in the midst, being in it, not of it. Are you with me? You're going to suffer persecution for his name's sake. They hated him. They're going to hate you. They're going to misunderstand. They're going to accuse you of being passive, a pushover. They're going to accuse you of being holier than thou. Who do you think you are? What are you saying? You're perfect. I've gotten all that from the church. It's very sad. Granted on his behalf, for his sake. To suffer. Can I quote 1 Peter? Maybe I can quote 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, you have exceedingly great and precious promises by which through them you partake of his divine nature. It doesn't say through the promises you're assured to have full vats and barns and provision and everything you think you need for tomorrow. It has nothing to do with that. Through the promises, you are assured to partake of who he is. Wow. Watch. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. The word is self-centered seeking. It's not watching pornography. It's self-centered, unsatisfiable desire. Wow. What's the promises assure me? That I partake of him, and in partaking of him, I escape the corruption that's in the world all around me by men just living for their own sake, own self, own name, own gain. Coming out of darkness into the light, delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Guys, if we're not careful, we've turned that into just bless me, Lord. Hope I feel better. Take away all these bad thoughts. I don't want any bad dreams. No, he's given us truth to conquer all that stuff. Amen. All that stuff. Amen. Look, you could leave a service tonight. There is no guarantee you aren't going to have a dream from your past. You say, don't you speak that over me, brother. Why are you even worried about that? That is zero threat to you unless you believe the dream. Come on. You get a dream from the past, you ought to sit up in bed in the middle of the night and go, Father, I'm so thankful for redemption, sanctification, that you set me apart. Sing about three worship songs, declare the truth, and go back to bed. You don't wake up your friend at 2:30 in the morning crying, wearing the identity of the dream. Be a believer. Come on, if the dream bothered you, you ain't conjuring it up. It ain't in your heart, it's in your past. If the thoughts you're thinking bother you, they're not coming from you. It's the biggest lie from hell. If people are going good, doing good, and he just comes up, and people go, can you please pray for me? I'm just getting so many bad thoughts and memories. That's what people do. Dime a dozen, them ministries raise up everywhere and say they're helping each other. And all we're teaching is if you're not feeling good, you're not doing good. Now we're living sensual and we're not even living by the Spirit, and truth can never make us free because we're not ministering it. We're ministering feelings. The last thing I need is prayer if I'm having bad memories. I need truth that sanctifies me from the memory. Why are we such easy targets? Listen, you got Johnny sitting there and he's doing great. He's reading his Bible. He got worship flowing. He's got nothing going on in his heart but Jesus and growing in Jesus. And Satan's over here watching him. And he's going, this ain't good. We got to stop him. Johnny's like everybody else. He'll fall for it. He calls one of his little cohorts. He comes over. Yeah, boss. He says, listen, Johnny's all excited. He's born again. He thinks he's got it happening now. And he's all saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, you remember Johnny, right? You remember 5 years ago? Oh, boss, you're too much. Yeah. Oh, boss. He goes over to Johnny. Johnny's just minding his own business in the Lord. And out of the blue, who's ever been in worship and something goes through your mind and it's the last thing you even want in your mind? Who's been reading your Bible and all of a sudden you get overtaken with trash? And if you're not careful, you'll think something's wrong on the inside of you. The fact that it bothers you and you wish you didn't see it tells you it's not you. Why do we think? Because we remember it's me. God doesn't just take it out of your memory. I could care less that I remember my past. I use it for benefit. If the past comes, throw it, flow into me. Father, I thank you. I'm redeemed. I'm filled with your life. You put a new heart in me. You've changed me. That man that used to be will never be again. You put your life in me. You put your nature in me. You put your spirit in me. And if that's a little imp going yak, 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 let him yak, yak, yak. Scriptural to handle it that way. You submit to God. That's resisting the devil. You don't resist the devil. You submit to God, resist the devil. It's one step. You're submitting as you're resisting. Your fight is not the devil. Your fight is the good fight of faith. So guess what Johnny has when he hears, Johnny has options. He got nothing adverse in his heart. He's growing. He's reading the word. He's got some soft piano. He's got Jeremiah's peace thing flowing. But Johnny's got options. He can go, man, I've been doing so good for 6 months. Why do I got this stuff in my heart? Why am I thinking this now? I thought this was over. I thought I was free. That was 5 years ago. What? God, maybe something's still lingering. God, please forgive me for thinking this. Please forgive me for the things in my mind. All of a sudden, you're repenting for something that you're not. Wow, come on. And worse yet, you're getting on the cell phone and calling for prayer, because we are notorious for getting on our cell phone and calling for prayer for every feeling, bump, and emotional seemingly bruise. And rarely do we commune with God. Can you pray for me? I need prayer. Can you pray for me? Can you just pray for me? Can you pray for me? I'm like, what do you want prayer for? Well, I just feel, I don't know. I just need prayer. What? I suggest you to not live there. You need him. You need truth that makes you free. So watch this. So Johnny, watch this. So Johnny's sitting there. He's got options. He can. And now he's repenting for something. He's not calling somebody for prayer because they're the prayer warrior. If they're the prayer warrior and they're sharp, they'll say, Johnny, you don't need prayer. Is that stuff even in your heart? That's all a lie. Don't be deceived by the devil. None of that that you heard has anything to do with you, your heart, or where you've been heading for 6 months. Don't you be tricked back into something you're not. I ain't even praying for you and letting you put on that identity. That isn't yours, man. Jesus took that off of you, and I've been watching you grow and shine. The last thing I need to do for you is pray. You ought to lift your hands when I hang up the phone and rejoice that you're saved, born again, and you're clean in his sight, and you ain't never going back to what he delivered you from. Yeah? See? Because if Johnny does that, so this little thing's there, it's an assignment. It's not an accident that it's happened to you in worship. And then you know what our minds do? Now, how can this be happening in the holy presence of God? We're worshiping. We're in this atmosphere, and I'm getting these wicked thoughts. That must be inside me. This must really be weird and bad, because I wouldn't think these thoughts could come in the presence of God. I've been around us. I know exactly what happens when that happens. And that's how people think, and they rationalize it, and they make it a big problem. I was in a school of ministry. I've never been bound to pornography. I don't even have a real history with it. Never really did. It was around me a lot. I just never got hooked on it. But I remember I saw this video once. And I'm years later, I'm saved. I'm in a ministry school. I'm teaching. I'm going to teach on words of knowledge. I'm going to teach on life in the spirit to this ministry school. And we're in the middle of worship, and it's the holiest atmosphere. It's one of them incredible. The worship team starts stopping. All you hear is high keys on the piano, and everybody's toast. And I'm standing there, and the video, right then, the video goes through my head when I'm mic'd up, ready to get up there, as if I'm watching it. That video is not in my heart. The last thing I'm thinking about is that video. The last thing I ever want to see is that. But you say, well, why would God allow? Listen, God gave me every weapon of defense. God gave me his word, gave me the power of life and death, gave me authority in the name of Jesus, told me to put on righteousness, wear it, never be afraid. Right. See, every time stuff like that happens to me, I get a picture of the Lord looking down at me and saying, so what are you going to do? So what are you going to do? And he ain't expecting me to say, please, God, forgive me. Or can you pray for me? I'm getting backflashes. You ought to tell people, so? Why are you believing them? Are them in your heart? Do you still want to live that way? No. Well, then why are you buying in? Why are you selling so cheap when you're not for sale? So see, I shocked the room. I shocked the room because I'm in this thing for keeps. Can you tell I'm in this thing? I'm over where she's sitting. I'm over there. And I'm ready to teach. And I got this stupid video going through my head. The atmosphere is so holy, you don't get up and speak. You got to be careful how you even step into this atmosphere. It's a holy atmosphere. You don't just get up there and interrupt it. You don't just get up and say, well, listen, guys. I mean, it's a delicate situation. And there's times you're supposed to minister and you don't want to minister. Because it just ain't, you just don't step up there all the time. But I'm over there and now this is war. This is warfare. You just push some buttons in me. You got me watching somehow this video is recollecting through my head, and I'm standing there and the atmosphere's so holy and it's a hush, and all you can hear is people weeping and breathing. You don't hear nothing else. And I said, Father, thank you, Lord God, that you set me free, that you changed my life forever, that you've cured. And it scared people. No, you're messing with me now. Oh. This is a weapon of my warfare. This is this little thing come over here. No. See, you want him to be so freaked out?
Come on.
You want him to run back to boss? Boss, did you do what I said? Exactly, boss. Good. How'd it go? Boss, you ain't gonna believe it. Boss, I promise, boss. I promise I told him everything. I showed him everything. I did everything you told me to do. Yeah? And boss, you ain't gonna believe it. He lifted his heart and started to worship. God, you fool. You couldn't have told him what I said. When you talk like that to Christians, they get grayed out, discouraged, and depressed, and they call for prayer. Not this one, boss. Boss, not this one. I'm afraid, boss. I think this one might be a believer. I said, Father, I thank you. You put new life in me. You put a new heart in me. You washed me clean. I stand before you holy and righteous, God. And people, they love me. They respect me. They're all in the church, but they're freaked out. They're like, what is he doing? And they started to think, wow, this must be something God's doing right now. They started to all make declarations and confessions. So in the next 3 minutes, the whole church is father, and they're making declarations and confessions over their life. And now the room's going, all because I saw a porn video. Now, how do you defeat that kind of wisdom? The reason he's coming is to break me, but he runs a risk of making me if I believe the gospel. No, this is just how it went down, and I'm not embellishing it an ounce. Everybody's, and I'm like, and now I have to calm down and minister. Yeah, right. I'm like, Father. And everybody's still just like, and they're all coming down. Right where you're sitting, I said, ma'am, you've had a growth on your right ankle. On the inside, it's touching nerves. Your toes are stinging. You check it, you'll see it's gone. By the time I point to the next man, she's already screaming and squealing. I said, sir, the middle disc in your back, right where you are in that blue sweatshirt. I said, the middle disc in your back is herniated and you've been having trouble for a long time. That heat you feel, he goes, I said, you're being healed right now. And bam, bam, because I'm supposed to teach on this stuff. Bam, bam. And watch. I don't even know if any of that would have happened if I didn't see the video. Bam! But if I'm not secure, if I'm not passionate about what I'm teaching you, and I'm insecure and I start thinking it's me, my heart, I'm defiled, I'm supposed to be teaching and I got this stuff in my heart, in my head. And I'm watching and fantasizing a corrupt video when I'm supposed to be anointed. And next thing you know, I'm up at the altar kneeling and praying and repenting for something that's not even close to my heart. Come on. I ain't selling cheap because I ain't for sale. It's a simple attack of the devil, and I'm telling you, it's crushed many well-meaning Christians, and the reason it crushes people is because their hearts are pure, but they're being deceived, and they're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So we better get the knowledge and stop destruction. And that's why I'm teaching this stuff. Come on, it's happened to all of us. Who's ever had silly blasts from the past stuff come through your life at inopportune times when you were doing good or in holy settings? Let me see your hands. Uh-huh. That's like across the board. See? Oh, I'm fired up. I'm going to get born again before the night's over. Yep, all the people that have been praying for me, it's going to come to pass. Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, I'm in chapter 2, verse 1. It's all one book, one letter. Any affection, any mercy, fulfill my joy of being like-minded, having the same love. That's me and Michael. That's Michigan and PA, being of one accord, of one mind. Let what? Let nothing. Let what? Nothing. Not some things, not most things. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each consider others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interest, but also the interest of others. Now this gets incredible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's inviting you into the motive of Jesus. And he's telling you, you can have it. He's telling you, you can live it. See, if Jesus had our wisdom, he would never make it to Golgotha. He wouldn't even make it the 3 years. Men would have overwhelmed him. He'd have quit. It ain't worth it. He'd have fell out of the saddle and wouldn't have got back up. In fact, when your own boys that you poured into for 3 years all forsake you and you get struck and they scatter, that's a pastor that's so wounded he'll never ride in a saddle again. He's been building this thing for 3 years. He's trying to get the vision to come to pass, and all of a sudden everybody put his trust in, abandoned him, and he's broken, he's hurt, and he needs ministry. This is true. Now, we don't have to be. Because we're taking our life so personal. When Jesus rose from the dead, he told Mary, go tell my brother. And he didn't say, go tell my lowlife, two-faced, backstabbing, no good for nothing. He said, go tell my brother. And the guys didn't do one thing right, guys. They did the Last Supper, and they're all sitting whispering, saying they're going to die for him. And as soon as he was struck, they all scattered. Peter swore, cursed, and swore that he didn't know him to save himself. They didn't do anything right. When he rose from the dead, he said, go tell my brethren. He didn't even say my disciples. He got personal covenant and family. Go tell my brethren. What's he saying? I haven't changed my mind one bit about any of them. I want to live that way. I don't want to just sing to him. I don't just want to pray to him when I'm overwhelmed. I don't just want to read my list and call it prayer. I want to follow him. I want to be with them and walk with them. Yeah. Yeah. Let the same mind be in you. Isn't it amazing? Jesus is going to the cross, the Golgotha, to be hanging on the cross. He's still carrying it. They're smacking him, mocking him. Guys, Isaiah 52 said he was marred more than any man was ever marred by man. That means when they were done with him, he looked worse than any man ever appeared after the brutality of men. In that day, it was popular to soak Christians in oil and then light their toes on fire as they hung to a cross and watch them torch. They called them Christian torches. You tell me when the fire goes out that you can tell if that's Sally, Millie, Johnny, or Billy. You don't even know their gender when the fire goes out. And Jesus was marred more than that. Why'd he have to get beat beyond description? Because when sin got done with man in the garden, he didn't look anything like it was created to be. Wow. So he had to lose his appearance to pay the price to get our identity back. So why did Jesus have to get beat beyond description? Why couldn't he just get 39 stripes and some stakes in the hands and get it over with? Why did he get beat beyond recognition? Because when sin got done with Adam in the garden, he didn't look anything like he was created to be. He totally lost the image. So he paid the price through his own life to get the image back on man. That's a mic drop moment. It really is. Do you guys see what's wrong with me when I preach? I believe this. It's real to me. And I've surrendered to it. And his grace is sufficient. His wisdom is different than anything we've been taught by. You can't be conformed to the world. It's mindsets, it's moods, it's attitudes, it's whatever's, what I feel, what I wouldn't if they didn't. That is not the Lord. That is what we were trained by. That's the home we were never created to live in. We were homeschooled in the wrong home. We were born into the wrong thing. You must be born again. You got to come out of the old and get into the new. You cannot pour new wine into the old wine skin. Come on, this isn't complicated. And how much scripture have I wrapped around everything I've said? A little bit of scripture. I don't get on. I am zero social media. I'm zero technology, zero YouTube, zero comments, zero thumbs up and down, zero. I'm zero. No, you have no idea. Zero. My friends, unfortunately, go into that arena sometimes. They'll say, Dan, it's amazing. I say, I don't even think I want you to tell me. Now I don't even let them tell me anymore because they've told me stuff and it just makes me want to cry. Just how people can be. But they'll say something like, you will preach something, have it so wrapped in scripture, and what they comment on is, can you believe he never even read out of his Bible? Like, that's how cheap people will sell. Yeah. preach 50 scriptures, tie the whole thing up and quote where they're at, but never read out of the book. Painful that people can, that's why they never could hear Jesus. Because they weren't listening to hear. They were listening for what they didn't agree with. That's how truth himself could stand in front of them with total authority and conviction and speak for years and no one could hear. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Be careful how you hear. I gotta quit. Oh, I'm so like out of time. Let me just read. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, even though he was God's son, he could have been treated as God's son. He could have came as God's son. He didn't consider it something to be acknowledged for. He was born in a manger, rode in on a donkey, called himself the Son of Man, and he came in a body. He wasn't looking for affirmation and praise from men. He wasn't looking for the glory from men. Okay? So even though he was a son, he didn't come and go, da 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 da. Yeah?
Right, yeah.
Okay. But instead made himself of, come on, this is the mind we're supposed to have in us. And if we don't have this mind, then we're not walking as one, and a house divided can't stand, and at best we'll do church and never be her.
Come on.
See, going to church has taken the place of knowing him in many people's lives. Church attendance have taken the place of relationship with Christ. So we do Christian things and aren't convicted not living Christ. It's possible to wear a Christian t-shirt, read Christian scripture, and have Christian music playing 24/7 in your house and never commune with God, communicate with God, or manifest God. And we think the things we do that are Christian is what makes us Christian instead of becoming Christ-like. So we know how to lay me down to sleep, and now I pray over my food, God bless, funerals, weddings. We know how to bow. We have to be very careful we're not being lulled to sleep. Sometimes you think the more we know, the more we grow. No, knowledge can puff you up, love edifies. The goal isn't knowledge, the goal is love. Yeah? He made himself of no reputation. Guys, our whole life we were seeking reputation. Our whole life, we wanted reputation. We wanted to be in, not out. We wanted to be appreciated, not unappreciated. We wanted to fit. We would have loved if we could be in the clique. At a very young age, we were moved and determined by these things. At a very young age. Made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Whew. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name above every name. See why he didn't say anything? See why he didn't rebut? See why he didn't defend himself? See why he didn't lash back and criticize? That footsteps were to follow who committed no sin? No deceit was found in his mouth. When he was threatened, he didn't condemn. He simply trusted him who judges righteously. That was the rest of that verse in 1 Peter 2. Just thought we'd finish it now. It's timely. Ain't that something? That's what we're to follow. Committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When he was threatened, he didn't condemn. He simply trusted him who judges righteously. So here he is. God. The Son, who was and is to come, who was always from the beginning, that nothing was made that wasn't made through him. Holding all things together by the word of his power, he's carrying a cross, beaten, unrecognizable, and he let men do that to him. The men that he's paying the price to save, he let pummel him. Hello? He didn't stop. Four lashes in and said, wait, I wasn't planning on this. This is too intense. He didn't say, God, are you kidding me? Like, I got it. Really? I mean, I knew I had to die, but really? Son, we talked about this. Yeah, but no, this is intense. Hear me out. I've done nothing but good. I've done your will the whole time I'm here. How many people have I healed? How many miracles? Are you kidding me? Barabbas, they want to release him in my face, in my presence. They want to shout, Barabbas, he killed a man. I'm raising the dead. He causes conspiracy, and I'm trying to bring peace, and I'm supposed to die for these people? They're idiots. If they didn't change by now, they ain't never changing, and I ain't dying. If they hit me one more time, I'm telling you. I know about you, but I want to follow him. That's love in action right there, buddy. Because that language I just spewed out, the only reason I know that language, I grew up apart from him. And I lived with you in that same wisdom my whole life until I got born again. And now this same mind be in you that is also in him. Therefore, God exalted him high above every name that will ever be named. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, those in heaven, earth, under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, if you notice in your Bible, everywhere he exalts Jesus to the preeminent spot and glorifies him like that, the very next sentence goes right to us. Why? Because we're one, we're family, and it's all about him transforming us. There's such a direct connection. He doesn't do that without addressing us. You look in your Bible. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go, therefore, in my name. Yeah? Talks about him having the preeminence, and he's the head, the body, right? And he talks about who the body is. Yeah? Watch this one. Watch this one. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I mean, it sounds like we should just pound the drums like crazy and shout for a half hour, right? That's rainbow stuff. Like my whole Bible's colored up on that one. But the very next line, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, you work out your own salvation with reverence and fear before God and trembling, for it is God who's working in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling, without complaining, so that you may become blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Most Christians say that's impossible. But the word tells you to live that way. So I guess by the power of Holy Spirit, coupled with a surrendered life of sincerity, grace is sufficient for me. And I guess I am what I am by the grace of God. So we're not talking perfection, we're talking purity. And to the pure, all things are pure, and the pure in heart shall see God. And if in the process I stumble, I am so aware of it because I'm walking in him that I will never hide like Adam. I will run to him. He will father me, empower me. I'll be wiser, sharper, and know him more than I've known him before. Do all things without complaining, without grumbling, that you may become blameless, harmless children without fault in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation. Perverse means twisted-minded. What's perverse about the generation? They're all living for themselves. What's different about you? You're living for the glory of God. Guess what love does? Lays down its life for another. Guess what the flip side of the coin is? Live at the expense of someone. You can be in a family of four. Listen, young people. Listen, spouses, you can be in a family of four, cop a negative attitude, put pressure on the other three in your home. Whatever stormed your room, won't answer the door, stay in there for 4 hours, copping out. Just put pressure on the rest of your family and force them to have to respond to your attitude. That's called living at the expense of your family. You're a family unit. How can you run together unless you agree? A house divided can't stand. Don't be so solo and single. Be a seed that falls to the ground, springs up and bears much fruit. If you don't fall to the ground and die, you abide alone. Come on. Living at the expense of just manipulating your spouse, controlling emotionally, controlling your spouse with the silent treatment, just making sure your displeasure is known before you step out the door to go to work. Maybe not even saying anything, just making sure they know you're not pleased. Now there's pressure all day. And now when you walk back in the house, there's still something in the air that's not Holy Ghost. Come on. You know how I know this so well? Because I used to live this way. And I've pastored and watched a whole lot of people live this way. But we're not going to live this way, people. It's God working in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. And we're going to do all things without complaining, without grumbling. We're going to be blameless, harmless children in the midst of the world. We're going to shine as a light. I'll close with this one. I wasn't going to go there, but boy, it just hit me. So it's my last night. I really can't get fired. But I'm 1 minute late. Bummer. James chapter 3, please. Yeah. Is that the Lord? Did he say it was okay? Is that okay? James 3:13. Would you look there? When I used to do weddings. When I used to do weddings. I'm sorry, I'm picking. When I used to do weddings, this is one of the scriptures I do when people get married. I did really good weddings. I wanted to be joined and become one. I would meet with all the witnesses and tell them it's not about a Ken and Barbie wedding and just looking nice and you look as nice as you can, but it ain't about being 5-on-5 so the pictures are balanced. It's about you witnessing vows and covenant promises before God and assuring you'll do anything in your power to see that they come to pass. And then I'd meet with all the living parents so that the in-laws could never become outlaws. And make sure that they release their children and don't watch their daughter get married and control and covet her. Watch their son get married and still cling to him. Oh, I would have all those meetings. But I would preach this in weddings. Who is wise? You're so precious. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who really knows what they're talking about? Well, you can tell by their hair color. No, just kidding. That was a joke. I can tell it's late. You all about half missed that. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show by the good conduct, meaning of their life, that their works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Watch. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. In other words, don't ignore it and act like it's normal, okay, and everybody has their stuff. Deal with it. Be convicted. Talk to God. Put it off. Put something new on. Believe. Walk your way through it in prayer. But don't act like everything's okay. Look, if this is in my sermon, do you understand all I'm doing is reading scripture? If you have selfishness in your heart, don't boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. Never came from God. It's earthly, sensual, and demonic. And where envy and self-seeking are present, confusion and every evil work is there. Now watch this. You walk in your bedroom, you think you're praying. You're so hurt, you're so broken, you're so angry at your spouse, and you're talking to God so you think you're praying. And the only reason you're praying is because you're hurt, broken, offended, and frustrated. And you're like, God, I can't believe you let them do that to me. God, you got this, God. Blah, 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 blah. And you're calling three friends, pray right now, I'm believing for the breakthrough in my marriage. All you're doing is inviting every evil work. You're a landing strip for every evil work. That's why there's confusion in those moments and pandemonium in people's souls. Because your whole prayer is self-centered. It has nothing to do with the redemption of your spouse. It has to do with your spouse changing for your sake. And you're in there, and I bind you, devil, and I break your power over my husband, over my wife. And you're shouting loud. And the whole time you're saying, you're welcome. Sit down on the bed, hang out. You're rebuking him, and he's laughing because you're inviting him, because it's all about you, your hurt, your offense, and your brokenness. Come on, read your Bible. Where self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing is present. Your will be done on as it is in. Now, we always pull out healing on that one. No cancer in heaven, no cancer on the earth, and gives us faith to pray for the sick, and it's not wrong. But it's always about the power of God on that prayer. Your will be done on as it is in. No animosity in heaven, no bickering, no backbiting, no offense, no anger, no discouragement, no disappointment, no self-centeredness. Your will be done on. Is it possible to live by the Spirit? Is it possible to follow Jesus? Is it possible to walk out the word? These signs will follow those that, and you know them by their. Doesn't get no clearer than that. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's willing to yield, and it's full of mercy. Good fruits and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the, for they shall be called the, wow. So sons of God isn't a new confession on the earth in the body of Christ nowadays. It's an expression that's always been here. Blessed are the, for they shall be called the sons of God. Yeah? He says, what credit is it if you love those who only love you? For even the tax collectors and the pagans do as much. When you're done wrong, yeah? Somebody takes from you. Yeah? Mistreats you. Why am I going to live that way? He says, because if you live that way, you're the sons of God. For God himself causes the rain to fall and the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. Ain't that something? Can we pray something over our lives tonight before we end? You guys want to live this way, don't you?
Yes.
Like, what I'm teaching is freedom. Selfishness is the biggest bondage in your life. Fear, anxiety, worry, and all the things that we're always praying to be free from always hinge to the landing strip of self-centeredness. If we could get self-centeredness to bow and get that away from us, these things would no longer have a landing strip. If you took the runway away, the plane couldn't come in. So if the plane couldn't come in, it would have to circle till it runs out of gas and finally dies and crashes. No more plane. So why don't we take away the landing strips in our life? And let's recognize we were made for one reason, not one of two reasons. We were made for his image. Jesus paid a price to restore the image. He came to save that which was lost. In that being lost, many got lost. So is it still about the who that's lost? Yeah, but the who can't be found if he doesn't save that which was lost. So he takes away sin, the effects of sin. He raises from the dead. has a little talk with Mary. She goes, tells the disciples. He comes in later in the day, in the evening. He comes in the room. He just said he's going to the Father. He walks in and says, peace be with you. Why? He just made peace through his blood. Peace be with you. They felt his hands, his side. They freaked out. Oh my gosh, it's him. And then he said, peace be to you immediately. Why? Because as soon as they knew it was him, they went, uh-oh. We all ran. Yeah? So now they're face to face with Jesus. None of them stood their ground. None of them did what they said they do. And now he's standing there raised from the dead. And they go, uh-oh. And he says, peace to you guys. Look, stop. I know how you're feeling. Just stop. As the Father sent me. Do you realize these are guys that did nothing right? He walked into a room full of fear. They were afraid the same thing was going to happen to them. So they weren't in a white hot prayer meeting, inviting the presence of God. He walked into their fear and said, peace be with you. It's Romans 5. You have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ being justified by faith. And then they say, oh my gosh, it's really him. And then he says, look, peace be to you. Come on, relax, stop. Nobody's condemned. And then he says something so remarkable. As the Father sent me. See, we always think power. We always think miracles. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. For God so... How'd God send the Son? He came to his own. His own knew him not. He wept with compassion, not frustration. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And then he did something remarkable. He breathed on him. And said, receive Holy Spirit. It's John 20. You can check it. It's there. He breathed on him and said, receive Holy Spirit. Well, why didn't he just say, receive the Holy Spirit? Why didn't he say, be filled? Why didn't he just lay hands on their foreheads and get Philip or somebody to catch? Why did he breathe on them and say, receive Holy Spirit? Because he's the redemption of man. He's the last Adam. He brings man back to original value, back to the beginning. How did God make Adam? What was lost when Adam sinned? Everything in that breath. So now his blood's speaking better things than the blood of Abel. And men's no longer judged for sin. So Jesus is making it as if man never sinned because of the power of his blood. And what he's saying is, day one, all over again, purpose restored. Come on, this stuff's all in there. God wrote the book. And then he says something even more remarkable, which I hesitated to preach for a long time in my life because I didn't understand it, but I get it now, I believe. He said, if you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they shall be retained. And it puzzled me for years because it sounds like you have the right to not forgive, to see men for what they did wrong. But I can't find any scripture that tells me that I can judge a book by its cover. I can't find one scripture that tells me to see a man for his failure. So what's Jesus actually saying? Let me paraphrase what I believe he's saying. These men did nothing right, true? When he walked in on them, they were consumed with fear and self-centered worry, true? And yet he came in and called them brethren. Peace be with you, and breathed life into them, and they got born again. Yeah? And then he said, if you go out and love them like I've just loved you, then they will know my love. But if you don't go out and love them like I loved you, then how will they know my love? Because you are the body of Christ. So if you let your heart get hard, if you get into works, if you get into legalism, if you get all messed up and fail to see them like I saw you, they will never know the way to me because you're the avenue by which they come. That's amazing. I don't know about you. I want to follow him. Do you want to follow him?
Yes. Or you just want him to meet your surface needs? Well, that would be good, brother.
Can I pray over y'all? I'm so late, and I'm not even one bit worried about getting fired, but we need to be a little conscious of time because these guys need to clean up. So here's what I'm going to ask. When we do close, can we kind of be kind and hug and love each other and just kind of make our way out so they can get to what they need to do for tomorrow because I went a little over. Can we do that? Yeah? Can we honor the establishment like that? And especially because I went over. So can you love me through this? Will you stand to your feet? I want to pray over all of us. Listen, your prayer life, your relationship with God is where your life changes. You can't listen to a sermon like this and go out and try to live it. You become it. And the way you become it, you get alone with Him. And you put off the things in prayer that you know aren't the kingdom of God. You can be general. You don't have that nitpicking introspect. I do stuff like this. Father, I just thank you. My life is yours and you live in me and no one owes me a thing. Never again will self-centeredness rule my life, reign in my life, or even motivate my life. Father, I just thank you. I find myself in you. I'm complete in you, and nobody owes me a thing. I talk like that. I drive and think like that. Yeah? No longer will stress and strife and frustration rule my life. God, I just thank you. I wake up in the morning to walk in the light and to love, not to need love, but to be love. You have changed everything. And that's just how I talk to the Lord all the time. So I'm not, God, you need to do something with this old wicked heart. No, no. Father, thank you for changing my heart. Thank you for putting life in me. Thank you for making me new. Always be answer conscious. Always be answer driven. Don't troubleshoot in prayer. Proclaim what you believe He's doing because you're willing. Amen? So, Father, I just thank you for grace tonight. I thank you that these words aren't unreachable to anyone, aren't intense or too much. I thank you. It's just clear, simple, scriptural truth, your purpose, your motive, and our willingness. So, Lord God, I thank you that your grace meets our faith tonight. And you begin to not only form us and fashion us, but restore things and restore our view of people, relationships, marriages. Just make us look through your eyes tonight by this willingness and empower us to begin to manifest what you paid for, to begin to become love and walk in love and show mercy and make peace. God, I bless this house. I bless this church. I bless everybody in this room and ask for grace to rest on our lives, that Holy Spirit, you would cause these things to be sealed and etched in our heart. Don't let our awareness escape them. If we in any way walk outside of these truths, let us know it, let us see it, and let us run right to you, Lord God. I think that no one is risking failure tonight by stepping out. We are stepping into the race and privilege to become. And I just believe we are going to run well. We are going to finish, God. And I just thank you. You will empower the yes in our hearts. You will empower the willingness in our lives. And I just thank you, Lord God. Let no one hold that back from you. Move in our hearts in a supernatural way and get that yes up and out of every single one of us, God. I just thank you for moving us through your word, moving us by your love, and just thank you for how you're transforming our lives. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Dan.